Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
So we're going to get straight into it. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to get started this morning. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Man, what a passage of scripture of God speaking into the life of Joshua. You see, Joshua and the children of Israel are standing on the edges of the Jordan River, and they are about to enter into a promise that God had given many, many hundreds of years earlier to their ancestors. It was to their ancestor Abraham. Who's heard of Abraham here today? To Abraham that God made the promise, I'm going to give you a land for your descendants. And he said that in Genesis 15, I believe it is. Then we see that to his son, Isaac. Do we know Isaac this morning? The son of Abraham. He says in Genesis 26, he confirms, I'm going to give you a land. Then to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Have we heard of Jacob? To Jacob, he says, hey, I want to reconfirm what I promised to your father and your grandfather. I'm going to give a land to you and your descendants. And so we find that between that period of time of the promise to Moses and Joshua standing here in this passage of scripture, some 430 years, give or take, have passed, have transpired, have occurred. And a significant portion of that time, we discover, has been spent as slaves in the nation of Egypt. And during that time, they still hold on to the promise. They're still being believing that one day they're going to have a land of their own, as it was promised to Abraham. And while they're in slavery, the day comes, the Bible says, where they start to cry out for a savior. They start to stand again on the promise that how can we have our own land if we're slaves? Surely God's going to send someone to rescue us, to redeem us, to set us free from this situation. And God hears their prayers and he sends a man called Moses. And Moses comes before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And today I want to let you know, maybe you're in a place where you've been crying out to God. Maybe there's been tears, there's been moments of despair. Maybe you've said, God, I need someone to rescue me from where I am. I need someone to rescue me from my sins. And God has heard you and he sent a savior for you. He sent a savior whose name was Jesus Christ, and he came and died on a cross to rescue you, to redeem you, to set you free, to give you new life. And today, that gift of God's salvation through Jesus Christ is available to anyone who would ask. To anyone who would ask. And today, maybe you're in this place and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. I want to let you know, you can ask him today and he will come and he will be your Savior. He will set you free. He will forgive you of your sins and your past and give you a new life. And I want to give you an opportunity at the end of my message to receive Jesus and to invite him into your life. It's actually the second time that Israel is on the banks of the Jordan River. It's actually their second time being there. Some 40 years earlier, they had been in the same situation. But at that time, God had not allowed them to enter into the promised land because of disobedience and unbelief in their life. They sent out 12 spies and 2 came back with a good report. 10 came back with a bad report. And they decided to listen to the unbelief and the disobedience in those people's lives. And so for 40 years, they have wandered in the desert between Israel and Canaan. Canaan was the land of the promised land. And we see that a journey that should take between 10 to 20 days, 40 years. Wandering around in the desert and they're waiting. God is waiting for a faithless generation to pass away so that a new generation can step into God's promises. And we see that even though they are in this period of time of consequences for their unbelief, we see that God is still with them. God doesn't leave them. He doesn't desert them. We see that He feeds them with manna, like this provision from heaven. Every morning they wake up, there's food on the ground for them to collect. We see that He has bringing water in the desert out of rocks and out of things that should not have water. He brings water and provision, food and water. We see that the Bible says that their sandals and their clothes didn't wear out. Who would like to have a pair of shoes that lasted 40 years? Come on. How good is that? It didn't wear out. So even though they are facing fashion didn't change for 40 years. It was you were what you had in Egypt was still good when you arrived in the Jordan 40 years later. Even though they were facing the consequences of their disobedience to God, God was still with them. And I hope this speaks to someone today. Maybe you find yourself and you're in a place where maybe something you've said, something you did, some action in your life has caused you to go through some consequences. You're in a place, a situation where you may be paying for what you said or what you did. But I want to let you know, God is still with you. God's still with you. Even when you're going through the result of your own bad attitude or your own unbelief, God is still with you. He's still there for you. He's still providing. He's still around you. Even though you make a bad choice or life gets hard, God is always with you. I want to encourage someone today. God is with you. He is still with you. He is always there for you. He is still for you. So here they are. They're on the cusp of entering God's promise. Centuries in the waiting, and God's promise is about to come true. And I wonder today if there's anyone here that is waiting for a promise of God to come true. I wonder if there's any person here at some point in your life, someone said something, a word was prophesied, there was a Bible verse that you grabbed hold of, that you said, I am standing on this promise. I believe that this is from God. One day it's going to come true. You might be listening on a podcast later on. What's your promise? What are you believing for? Is it something from Scripture that you're holding on to? Something that you've grabbed? Is it maybe a word that someone spoke over you via prophecy? Is it a moment where you felt the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart? Hey, this and that, this is going to happen. Is it a promise maybe given to someone else that you are also believing for? Promise given to someone else. You know what? I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to believe for you for that promise. It could be something for one of your children or your partner or your spouse. It could be health, finances. It could be career or relationships. I want to ask you, what's your promise? There's promises of God that He has given us in our past, in our present. What are we holding on to and believing for? I've got several promises that I'm holding on for. Some promises that I'm holding on to are prophecies spoken over my life. Thus saith the Lord. Now, the prophecy spoken over my life. You know, I remember when I was 15 years of age at youth camp, going along there and just enjoying it and going into, you know, worship. And we had a guest speaker there, prophesied over my life, said, hey, I see the picture of like a lion over your life. And I believe that one day God is going to use you mightily. I'm still holding on to that promise of God, holding on to that promise. You know, another prophecy in more recent years, just in regards to ministry and building the church and having greater influence and maybe wisdom beyond my years. I mean, I'm wise, but I could be wiser, you know. Wisdom beyond my years and understanding. I'm still holding on to that. I'm still believing for that. That promise is via prophecy. I'm holding on to promise from Scripture. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. You know, this refers to Peter, but I also believe it's a prophetic word for the church today, the church universal, the church at large. I recall a story my dad told about when he was thinking about entering into ministry. My dad was a pastor for many years, and he tells a story about one day he was out. He lived in the Dandenong Mountains, my parents, and he was out praying in the morning, and he had a place that he used to go and pray, and it was an outlook that looked out from the Dandenong Mountains, and you could see all of Melbourne, and he was there praying for his family, praying for the church that he was part of at that time, and he was praying for Melbourne. And my dad says that as he was praying, he just felt like the Holy Spirit speak to him, like God say to him, "What about my city, Sunshine? What about my city, Sunshine?" I want to let you know today, we're here today as a church, not because someone thought it was a good idea to come to Sunshine, not because someone went to a church growth conference and thought, yeah, this is going to be good, not because someone had a church marketing or strategy plan to come to Sunshine. We're here today because God said, "What about my city, Sunshine?" And someone heard it and someone came. Someone said, "Yes, I will go." So I want to encourage you today in your prayers, can you be lifting up our church? Can you grab a hold of that promise? "I will build my church." Jesus says, "I will build my church." Can you be lifting up our church for more salvations, for more baptisms, for more growth, finances, and influence? Can I say this morning, it's not just on the responsibility of a few people to believe for God to build His church. It is the responsibility of every believer, every person who follows Jesus to say, "God, we want to see You build Your church and the local church body that I am part of." Jesus says, "I will build my church," and I believe that He is building our church for us today. And I believe that we are in the greatest position we've ever been in. I really believe that. Just some amazing thing that God is doing in our church and in people's lives, that we're in the greatest position we've ever been, and we're right on the verge of crossing our Jordan River, our metaphorical Jordan River, and something great is about to happen. So I want to encourage you, get along, encourage yourself, be strong in the Lord, and let's believe for God to do something great. And today, you know, I want to encourage someone here today, this morning, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your promises that you believe God has given you. Don't give up on those. You know, it may be weeks or months or years in the coming, but God is faithful. He will deliver on His promises. It took 400 years for Israel, but it happened. It came to pass. So here they are on the verge of crossing, entering into this promise of God. And God says to Joshua, "Get ready. It's time to cross. Get ready. It's time to go. It's time to possess. It's time to enter. It's time to receive." And God is still saying today to His church and to His people, it's time. It's time. It's time to enter. It's time to change. It's time to forgive. It's time to let go. It's time to believe. It's time to step out. It's time to rest. It's time to arise. God is saying, it's time. And I wonder what God might be saying to you, it's time. I wonder what area of your life God might be saying, "Hey, it's time. It's time." God's encouraging you to do something, to step out in faith. The Holy Spirit might be convicting you of something that's happening in your life. And if God and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, can I say it's time to listen and it's time to do? It's time to listen and time to do. I think there are times in our lives where we listen to God, but sooner or later, we have to act and do what God is asking us to do. 3 years Jesus was in ministry. He knew that whole time was to go to the cross. Sooner or later, He went to the cross. He said yes to God. And so, you know, over these first 10 verses of Joshua 1, God is encouraging Joshua that now is the time to enter and take possession of the promised land. And in the space of these 10 verses, God says the following to Joshua 3 times. He says, "Be strong and courageous." 3 times He says it to him. "Be strong and courageous. Joshua, be strong and courageous." Hey, I just want to remind you, I'm commanding you, be strong and courageous. And here's what I find so interesting. Joshua has seen some wild things in his life. Joshua has seen some amazing
outpouring signs and wonders of God in his life. You got to remember, Joshua was a slave in Egypt. He saw Moses arrive. He saw the 10 plagues that God poured out on Egypt. He was there at the Red Sea when the armies of Pharaoh were chasing them, and God parted the sea and they walked through, and then the armies tried to follow of Pharaoh and they were drowned. He was there when God led by a pillar of cloud during the day, a pillar of fire at night. Joshua was there. He saw that. He was with Moses when God etched the 10 commandments in stone. Joshua was there. He was there. He saw miracles. He saw the earth open. People fall in. The earth close. He saw amazing, amazing things. Joshua has been around the block. He's seen some wild things. And yet, God has to say to him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You know what this tells me? No matter what you've seen, where you've been, or who you've hung with, you're going to have moments in your life where you need to hear God say, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I would think someone who'd seen those types of miracles in his life, he would just have it all together. And maybe today you've seen some amazing miracles in your life and you think, I should have it all together. No, I want to encourage you today. God says, no, look to me. Be strong and courageous in me. Why do we need strength and courage in our life today? Well, I want to share three thoughts, if you're taking notes today, as to what we can see out of this passage of Scripture. Firstly, they need to be strong and courageous to have increased trust in God. Someone say that this morning. Increased trust in God. God had been a great deliverer in taking Israel out of Egypt. He had been a great deliverer, a great savior. He had taken them through that place. But the generation that experienced that were gone. That was in their past. The men and women who were there when God did that, they were no longer around. This new generation didn't know that God of great exploits. They'd not seen them, not experienced them. It was all in their past. You see, they had a trust in God that was all around, providing food, water, and shelter. That was their understanding of God's provision around their lives, and they'd been doing it for 40 years, but now God is taking them to a place that is going to require the exploits, the power, the might, the movement of God like the God of old back in the time of the previous generation. And this is going to require increased trust in God. Be strong and courageous. And there's people here, and you need to increase your trust in God. Maybe today you're trying to work things out. You're trying to control things. Maybe today in your life you're trying to figure out how is it all going to work out. It could be your kids or your career. Maybe it's a relationship or your health, anything. And God is saying to you, hey, just trust me. Just trust me. Be courageous. I've got this. Are you going to trust me? The biggest thing in our Christian walk is just trusting God. Trusting God that He's in control. Trusting God that He knows where He's taking us. And some of us need a revelation that the God who created the universe is more than able and more than capable to look after your life, to look after you, to work His will and His will out in your life. He's a God we can put our trust in. And so they need to be strong and courageous to have increased trust in God. They need to be strong and courageous to fight battles. The kids come to fight battles. You know, their battle had been about survival in the desert. It was about sand and sun and wind and dust storms and about barrenness and the never-changing landscape. Like, haven't we seen that rock before? Haven't we been past here? You know, 40 years of going around in circles. I think we've seen that before. That was their battle. A desert life is a hard life. But now their focus changes from one battle to another battle. Now we're talking real battles, literal battles, like literally battles, yeah? Like literally going out and fighting, taking possession of a land that God had promised you. They weren't just going to rock up and the inhabitants of the land were just going to say, hey, you're here at last. Come on in. Take everything. Kill us. Go for it. No, they were going to fight as well. Strategy, planning, weapons, training, strength, endurance, stamina, adrenaline, fear, anticipation, worry, eagerness, blood, sweat, tears, injury, maim, death. I'm not glorifying battle, but this was the area that they were entering into. This is what they were about to be going into, to fight battles. And I think we sometimes forget, these aren't the battle-hardened warriors of some time later on. You know, Joshua didn't have his 30 mighty men like David did later on in the Bible. You know, these aren't people that are hardened warriors. They're young men, you know, by the standard of their time, who had little experience in battles and warfare. And likewise, there are moments that are going to come in our lives where God is going to say to you, hey, there is a battle for you to fight. There is a war for you to take part in. There's a moments in life where God is going to call us to step up, to step out into the spiritual realm, to take up a cause, to take up a mission that God is calling us to. And these battles, they might be within our own lives, our own minds, our own desires. They might be a battle that a loved one is going through, and we want to stand with them. We want to fight for them. We want to believe as a church that they can have growth, that they can change. And it may be that we're not used to it. We're not used to fighting battles. But sooner or later, God's going to call you to fight a battle. And you've got to say to God, hey, I'm either going to trust you that you're with me, or I'm going to go back to Egypt and the leeks and the garlic, and I'm not going to enter this promised land that you're wanting me to take, or this promised land for someone else. You know, whatever it is, these are moments of be strong and courageous. And as we stir the Holy Spirit power within us, as we go out in prayer and believing, as we declare in the spirit realm, God is for me. God is greater. The obstacle that I'm facing, the fight that I have to fight, God is bigger. He who is with me is greater than he that is in the world. As we go out, we know that God is with us. And we remember that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And there's battles that we're going to have to face as a church that we're facing. There's obstacles that we're going to have to overcome as a church. But we're not fighting people. We're fighting principalities and powers that would try to stand against the church of Jesus Christ. But I want to remind them that on the cross 2,000 years ago, Christ died. He paid the price. 3 days later, he rose again in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that same Spirit lives and dwells in us and empowers us to fight the battles that we might face. And God has already won the victory for us. God fights our battles and goes before us. They need to be strong and courageous to fight battles. They need to be strong and courageous to expand their territory. Up until this point, the Israelites were nomadic people. They lived in tents. They didn't really stay in an area for too long. They stayed there for a little while and then they moved on. They went somewhere else. They were in tents and temporary dwellings that could be packed up and taken somewhere else. You know, they didn't put down roots. They didn't establish cities. They didn't establish towns and setting borders and owning territory. And yet, this is exactly what God is telling them to do. He's given them a land for their own possession, a land that's going to be theirs, a land that is going to be their own. We've defined borders to the north, south, east, and west. We see in that passage. And we see what happens is that they're going to go into the land and they're going to enter central Canaan. They're going to defeat the enemies there. Then they're going to go north and then they'll go south and take possession of the land. And there's some debate over how long it took, but it's probably took about 7 years to conquer the land of Canaan. 7 years. Think about that. 7 years. 7 years getting up, 7 years, today's a new battle, today's another battle, 7 years driving out the inhabitants of the land, driving out those people that were being punished by God for the sin in their lives, for the unbelief, for the stench of the wickedness of their lives, and God sends them, and all the time expanding their territory, year after year, taking new ground, establishing the already taken ground. And you know, I want to say today, any battle that we face, fight and win, is territory that God wants us to establish in our lives. When there's a battle to fight, it's because there's territory to win for God's kingdom in our lives, in the church, and in our territory is the territory of souls. Our territory is the influence. Our territory is the regions that we meet in. It's growing our church in the numbers. It's the schools and university. God is calling us to take territory and to then establish God's kingdom in that territory. one of the biggest strategic mistakes in any war or battle is to take territory but then not have the ability to keep that territory. But God is not calling us to do that, to go out, to raid and then fall back. He is calling us to go out, to take ground for Him and then to establish His kingdom there, to establish His owner, to be expanding the borders of His kingdom in our church and in our lives and in our family. I want to ask you today, where is God asking you to start establishing His kingdom? Where is God asking you that this is the territory I've called you to, and I want you to take possession of it, and I want you to establish cities. I want you to establish towns and farms and vineyards. I want you to establish whatever it is that He might be calling today. So they need to be strong and courageous to increase their territory. And as I close this morning, I just want to ask you this question. What promise is God asking you to be strong and courageous for? What is He asking you? Where is He asking you to have trust in Him? Where is He asking you to fight some battles? Where is He asking you to expand and to take territory? Perhaps He's talking about some other area of your life. And I want to say today, whatever the promise is that you're holding on to, whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, hold fast to His word and know that He is with you. Hold fast to His word and know that He is with you. Maybe you've been battered, you've been knocked around. You know, it talks about how the children of Israel, they went to fight another town. I'm not going to say it because I can't pronounce it. It's just spelled AI. I should be able to say that. It's so easy. AI. Anyway, AI. They go to the town of AI. And because of some unbelief or because of some action that some person has done by taking some gold from another city, they lose that battle. They lose the battle, the promised land. They lose the battle. There's going to be some times where maybe we're battered around and we feel like we're losing. We feel like we're being defeated. But can I remind you, hold strong to the promise of God. Hold strong to the promise of God. They gathered themselves. They dealt with that sin. They asked for God's forgiveness. They strengthened themselves. They were strong and courageous. They went out to battle again. This time they won the battle and they continue on. And I don't believe there was another battle that they lost in all that conquest of Joshua in the promised land. I want to encourage you, hold fast to His word and know that He is with you. He goes before you. He makes a way. He is the God of the impossible, but is possible in God. And I want to remind every single one of us today that there is one promise that God made, that God is faithful and that He gave us, that He has fulfilled, that He answered a promise that He made. It's in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is a promise I want to let you know today that has been fulfilled, has been actioned, has been done and dusted. God has fulfilled this promise 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's God's promise to us. And if we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. And it's the best promise that anyone's ever given. And maybe today you might be saying, I don't know what God's promise is for my life. Can I tell you, Jesus was God's promise for your life. And He's already given Jesus for you today. So celebrate. Encourage yourself. Be joyful. God has given me a promise and He has already fulfilled one of His promises for my life in sending Jesus Christ.